Amen. It's good to be here in God's house tonight. I trust that you've had a good day in the Lord. Good to see all of you here. We'll be in Colossians chapter 1 starting off this evening. Colossians chapter number 1. Thank you, Brother Ray, for being a play for us tonight. Good to see the Ormsby's in church with us. I pray that you'll continue to keep them in your prayers. Ask the Lord to strengthen Sister Lois. Haley got called today and they told her tomorrow bring her sleeping bag. They're bringing all the people from Melbourne over to the hospitals here, and they're one of the hospitals receiving tomorrow. So this weekend she'll be sleeping at the hospital all week. So it'll be a prayer for her as well. And pray for Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy left this afternoon. He came up from Miami, left this afternoon for Cocoa. They have 160 stores they've got to board up over there between now and tomorrow. So pray for Brother Jimmy that they'll be safe over there on the coast. Brother Ethan also has to go back over the coast tomorrow on the east side. Pray for them as they're over there working, getting everything in order for the hurricane that's coming through. What else is there? Our gas truck drivers. Make sure we pray extra hard for Brother Hector and Brother Randy. I'm sure they'll be delivering more gas than normal in these days coming. So remember those in your prayer tomorrow. And if you're in a situation where you are not feeling safe at your home, please give us a call. I think we can find someplace here safe to keep you if you're feeling unsafe. That back hall back there, I think we closed up the doors and got you in there. It'd be pretty safe here as well. Now listen, if something does happen and it moves further inland and you are hurting for something, you've got to let somebody know. Let us know. We'll do all we can within our power to help, but if we don't know, we can't help. Okay? I know Brother Jim already announced it. Tomorrow, I think it's just best interest of the church. We don't have visitation tomorrow or Saturday morning because I know it's supposed to be clear Saturday. It's supposed to be gone up further past Georgia, but we don't know the results that it may leave behind. And it may be that Saturday, the Lord may need some of us to run some stuff over to churches on the coast, help out over there. You know, Brother Hall has been really good to our church over there, and they're in Cocoa there. So we may have to know. Just be aware that I don't make it lightly a choice to not have visitation. I just feel like if there may be other things that we may have to do on Saturday to be a help to our state and to our community as well. So again, if something happens and you don't have anything, you've got to let us know. We'll do our dead level best to help you. We've got a full creek back there. So if you need flushing water, we can go get it. It's simple. We don't know the outcome. Only God does. But we will help. We are a helping church. So stay safe. Okay? Stay safe. If you're not feeling safe in your home, let us know. And I believe we can find you some safe refuge here. You know, you'll have to bring blankets and stuff like that, but I think we can find you some safe refuge here. Just let us know. That's all I'm asking. And we will get busy so Brother Scott can get the bus running back. Oh, that's another thing. Continue to pray for the bus, the little bus. Monday, we put some sea foam in the gas tank, ran it. I started about 8:30. That bus ran all day long. Brother Chris, what time did we cut it off? 3 o'clock? 3:30? Not a problem. Ran, purred like a kitten. I mean, just ran fine. Brother Chris called and said, let's do it again on Tuesday. I started on Tuesday morning about 10 o'clock. It bogged down just sitting there. So we're past the limits of what we know. Brother Chris has located a diesel mechanic that's willing to come out next week sometime, maybe towards the end of the week, to look at it. Some kind of fuel problem. We're not sure what the problem is, but it's beyond the filter. It's closer into the engine, so we're thinking it may possibly the injection pumps or something. So just pray that that will work itself out. We did not try to run it tonight because of the problem yesterday. Actually, I tried starting it a while ago and it wouldn't start. So it's a fuel problem, and ask the Lord to give wisdom as we do that. We're going to talk tonight about our hope. I thought it was a good thing to discuss tonight. A lot of uncertainty in Central Florida right now. More so on the coast than we are having. But, you know, many of us have uncertainties in our life day by day, whether it's financial, medical, some getting close to the ages of retirement, some, you know, have retired and having to adjust their life and things of that nature. Others just now getting into the workforce. Others going to schools for the first time that they've, you know, not been used to. I think about the Bentley family who's not here tonight. You know, they just lost a loved one a couple of weeks ago. They come from a small school, and now they're in Lake Nona. You know, it's a big change in especially teenagers' lives, you know, and things of that nature. So many of you have changed jobs throughout the summer over the last year. And so I want to talk tonight about our hope. And you know, it's not the uncertain things of men. Our hope's not in the men are very uncertain. I mean, godly men and godly churches have time of uncertainty in their life. And our hope cannot be in an individual, a human individual. It has to be in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope is not in the uncertain things of men. And for sure, we are in a political time that's very uncertain in our society, you know, with everything that's going on around us politically. A bunch of folks in office that need to be voted out, been there entirely too long. We need, you know, Congress and senators that's been sitting in the House of Representatives for 4 years and so on. It's time for them to go get a real job. They no longer represent the people. They're not, it's a career for them. They're not statesmen. They don't represent the constituents that they've, and so therefore it's uncertain. And I'm talking about John Micah too. It's time for them to go. We need term limits here in America. If it's good enough for our governors, it's good enough for our president, it should be good enough for Congress and good enough for senators. Amen. I don't care what party. This isn't a Democrat or Republican thing. This is an independent thing. This is, it's time that in the uncertain hour that we live in, that there has to be some changes coming. And so, well, Pastor, you think it's going to happen? I doubt it. They're the ones that voted. But I know this. My hope is not based upon term limits. My God is everlasting.
Amen.
And everlasting. So the uncertain things of men is not what our hope lies in, but it's in the well-grounded expectations of the Word of God, which as God hath prepared and promised for His people. And so that's the hope I want to talk to you tonight. I know you're living in some financial difficulties, physical heartache and some things. And I think about Brother Gary Bowles, been coming over a couple of years here to the church and, you know, and come Sunday morning and very faithful, I think, this year. He just had another surgery this week, fourth or fifth surgery this year. Two knee replacements, shoulder replacement. And the other shoulder, he had to go get some work done. And now he tore a muscle trying to stay physical, was lifting weights, tore another muscle, you know, and, you know, the uncertainty of our bodies that are breaking down. You know, Miss LaForce, knee surgery. Sister Barbara, knee surgery. Brother Bob LaForce, knee surgery. You know, and so forth and so on. You know, the uncertainty of the body. But the expectations of the Word of God and the promises of God that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the hope I want to talk to you about tonight. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, to whom God would make known What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What an amazing thought. That when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, that we go down into the muck and the mire of a failing health and financial disaster and problems that in the midst of all that, the God of heaven, relationship problems and parenting problems and so forth, the God of heaven, Christ Jesus Himself, lives in us the hope of glory. We got to get to the point that in the human realm of things, we realize that God is still in control, whether the sun shines or the clouds are out and the storms of life are pouring down upon us. God doesn't just check out. Brother Ethan said that they gave a back order on A1 over there on the coast, and people were supposed to be out, what was it, 3 o'clock yesterday, Brother Ethan, or 3 o'clock today? It had to go. People had to get out. They had to get gone. You know, and I'm sure there's some that's going to stay. That's their prerogative to do so. But dear friend, those people have lived there, labored there, worked there. Their houses, their homes, their goods are there. Now they have to get up and go because of a storm. Our God doesn't check out, doesn't evacuate when storms hit us. God doesn't say, oh, here comes some bad times. They're laughing. They're fixing to get sick. They're fixing to get hurt. They're fixing to get fired. They're fixing to lose their job. Well, I better check out and back off. The hope of glory, Christ Jesus living inside of us, goes right through those difficult times with us. That's amazing to me. The amazing thing about this hope of glory which lives inside of me, He knows that tomorrow or the next day, when I'm down and out, when I'm discouraged, when I'm depressed, when I'm seeming as though overwhelmed and overcome by the things of life, that He knows that there might be a time that even in my mind, I might question, where are you, God? And He stays in there. He stays with us, the hope of glory with it. Listen, it's a good hope. That's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Today I took some gas cans down and got some gas, was filling them up, and the guy across from me, look where he said, I bet you're going to have some friends tomorrow if the storm hits and they don't have gas. He says, you'll probably have friends that hadn't talked to you in about 6-7 years show up if they find out you got 5 gallons of gas hanging around. That's how friends are, isn't it? We got fair weather friends, and we got friends that just stick with us. Aren't you glad we have a God that's not just a fair weather friend, but He's a friend? Hey, listen, when the storms of life, He says, come on. Come on. When you're sinking, He reaches down, He puts you up. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. The Bible says there, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not another, God wanted us to know this. I mean, isn't that amazing? How many of you have ever said, Lane Stockton himself, Brother David Jones himself? God wants you to know. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. know about you, dear friend, it's a good thing to know that when I go into that storm, have you ever seen it? I mean, just the other day, I went deer hunting down in Three Lakes area. Never hunted there before. Daniel had won a quota permit, and then they changed his drill time on him, and he couldn't go. So I checked it, and that week I won. So I went down there, and I was sitting there in my deer stand. About 3 o'clock, I got in the deer stand. I was up in the tree about 22, 25 feet up in the air. And man, it was just beautiful looking at all that old Florida swamps and you know, palmetto bushes and a creek running down through there. Crazy squirrel wouldn't leave me alone, and mosquitoes galore. And not once did I worry about the Zika either. I just kept hunting. I'm sitting there. Reverend Johnson, all of a sudden, about 400 yards off somewhere, I heard it. I said, is there a forest fire out here? It was just roaring. Just roaring. I couldn't see nothing off of it. I said, is a train coming through the woods or something? And it kept coming, kept getting closer, kept getting closer, kept getting closer. And I could hear it coming. I could hear it. And then about 100 yards off through the woods, I just seen it like a sheet of rain. And it was just moving. 2 hours, it just moved right over me. But I could see it coming. I didn't. There wasn't no lightning. I latched myself in, had my harness on. I made sure I was real tight against that tree. I stayed put. And I saw the storm coming. How many times we see it? We see financial struggle. We see health problems. We see relationship problems. We see parental problems. We see governmental problems. And we see it. It's coming. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. It's coming. You duck your tail and run. But God put you there. And God has led you there. And the Bible says here that with an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
This is a good hope. That when storms are coming, I know that my God is going to be with me in the midst of that storm. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter 1, verse number 3. Christ, the hope of glory in me, and it's a good hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Aren't you glad it's not just a little drop, a little bit of salve? Abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a good hope. It's a lively hope. The other day I was looking at my Facebook page, and I know something, Miss Monk put a little picture on there. Miss Kim Monk, she'll be here Saturday. Pray for her that the planes will be able to come in this Saturday. She will come visit with us from Missouri for a week. But on her Facebook page, she put this little picture. It was a woman with a clipboard, and she was knelt down over the top of a tombstone. And it says, the Democrats have opened up their registration office. If you're a Democrat, I'm sorry. Laugh, it's funny. Because it was a Democrat that just registered a dead person up there in Virginia. It's funny. Aren't you glad that that tomb where they laid our Lord and Savior, it's empty?
Amen.
We don't have to go to a tomb. That today we go to the throne. Because it's a lively hope that I don't have to depend upon a dead person's word. I don't have to depend upon somebody that is ashes and bones and laid in the grave. But I have a resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope of the Lord lives in me. A good hope, an everlasting hope, a comforting hope, a lively hope. One that says, listen, I will be with you forever.
Amen.
In the midst of all this, a resurrection, a lively hope by the resurrection, the proof that this hope, the hope of glory, Christ in you, a good hope. And we have all this here. Jesus living in us, the hope of the hope of glory living inside of us. Jesus in us, a good hope. I mean, it's something that is wonderful just to think about. It brings soothe. It brings comfort. Like you said in the second the verse right out there, comfort yourself with this. Then it's a lively hope. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse number 3. So you're sitting here this evening. Many of your minds upon the, I don't want to say metropologist, meteorologist. I don't even know what in the world. I don't think that's a word. Many of you are thinking about your meteorologist, that weather person. You're thinking about them. Your mind's on this hurricane. This morning, I thought I had done one crazy this morning. I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, waiting to take the kids to school, and I was looking at the weather program, and he come on. He had just said something, gave the whole report. I mean, the whole entire report. Went on, did some other things. I went out, fed the animals, came back in, and he's the same guy. He hadn't changed. He said, by the way, I got to tell you about this other hurricane out there. What is this name?
Nicole.
Who? Nicole? I'm like, why didn't you tell me that 10 minutes ago? Did it just like pop up? I asked Brother Chris, is there another hurricane out there? So like, I was lost. Like, I just watched the whole thing, and then all of a sudden he's telling me just like 15 minutes later, hey, by the way, here's this other one. Like, these things just popping up like popcorn. Your mind's on it. You're thinking about the weather. You're thinking about, did I get enough? Did I get a pair? Is that thing coming in? You're thinking about this. Why don't we put as much effort in thinking about the hope of glory living inside of us as we have about this Michael who's traveling out there? Matthew. This Matthew that's traveling out there. Do you understand me something? Just listen to me just for a moment. The hope of glory who lives in you, put Matthew right out yonder. And Nicole too. And listen, when Charlie and Gertrude and all them other three that came through in 05, he run them through here, gathered them up on the other side and put them in his pocket. That's the God of heaven.
Amen.
That's the one I'm talking about. And if he lives inside of us and put hurricanes out there, cyclones, I don't know why are they hurricanes here, but in Asia they're cyclones. I have no idea. But God put them cyclones out there. The same one. Listen to this. Verse 3 of 1 John chapter 3. And every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I'm telling you, dear friend, if we spend as much time preparing for the Lord Jesus Christ and his return as we do hurricanes coming around here, there'd be a little purifying going on. My wife, bless her heart. Bless her heart. I love her to death. She said, hon, we might need to get them 5-gallon buckets out there in the shed and get some water put in them in case we need them for flushing. I said, okay. But she said, first, I want you to put some bleach in them, clean them out. I said, what? What are we going to do with them? We're going to use it for flushing, but I want you to put bleach in them to clean them out. Bless her heart. It's going in the toilet. We ain't fixing to drink it. I love you, honey. I know you're in the nursery. Hey, turn this one on. I love you, sweetheart. I love you. I do. Bleach it so we can flush. I didn't get it. And I didn't bleach it. I filled them up. I got a question for you guys that's gone through this. I texted the deacons this morning. I said, gentlemen, you think it'd be wise to gather up a little bit of supplies for the hurricane just in case somebody at the church didn't prepare? Yeah, that's a good idea. I went 7 stores, couldn't find hardly nothing. I'm just like, sheesh, like locusts went through there, just devoured it. At Dollar General, I found some gallon jugs. They had purified water, spring water, and distilled water. Is all 3 of them drinkable?
Yeah.
All 3 of them? Okay, because I didn't want to give somebody some water they're supposed to use in their iron. I just want to make sure. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Why? This old earthen vessel has the God of glory and all of his righteousness living within us. When we have company come over, ask my kids. When we have company come over, 2 days prior, God help, every one of us are enlisted into the maid service. Our house is going to be clean. Clean. When we have open house, church, we invite y'all down there. You don't know. Church, you don't know. I enjoy it. I love it when y'all come. We have a blast. Whew. We're talking about cleaning, purifying, candles galore, Febreze, Lysol. I mean, everywhere. Brother Chris, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Everywhere. Smell like a new house down yonder. Just so y'all can come in with your dirty shoes. Eat, spill a drink, drop some cheese. What in the world are we doing all this for? They just come in and they're going to have 80 folks in here. Just tell them the first 10 made all this mess. Y'all missed the clean part. Purified himself. Every man that have this hope. Let me ask you something. Listen, it's funny. I'm enjoying talking about this. It is, and I'm going to be in the doghouse till two weeks down the road. I can see right now I'm going to have to go buy me some roses and some flowers and about 16 Diet Cokes. I know where I'm at right now. I know when I'm in the doghouse, brother. I'm telling you. But it's the truth. This is how men think. I know.
Amen.
Why do you do it, Pastor? Because I love my wife.
Amen.
And that's what helps her feel secure. You know what? The Lord doesn't need to feel secure because he is security. But when he looks down into our house and this old vessel that he's put himself in, he said, at least they're putting forth effort to clean and purify themselves because they realize the righteous God of heaven. As the devil put it, that those demons last Sunday night, the Holy One of God. That's how the demons recognized it.
Amen.
The Holy One of God. At least they recognize who I am. And they're trying their dead level best to make that vessel pure. Why? As he is pure. Titus chapter 2, and this is the last one, and we're done. Titus chapter number 2. That's right after 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you got your eye on the fact that he's coming back soon. That blessed hope. That though as hard and difficult as life may be, it's only for a fleeting moment. When you compare eternity, that blessed hope that we're going to spend with our Heavenly Father. That blessed hope. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for our church and our church family. But Lord, those that came out tonight to just to have a time with you, let them understand. Let them feel your presence. Help them to see that hope. The hope of glory. Christ in us. The good hope, the lively hope, the purifying hope, the blessed hope that one day you will take us out of this. And Lord, it may get a whole lot worse than it is right now, because you said as it was in the day of Noah, as in the day when it was so wicked that you had to destroy with a flood. God, I can't imagine how wicked it must have been. I can't imagine how wicked it must have been when you destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, so I do see that it's going to get worse. But what a hope. Help us, God, to keep our eye upon you and not look at the circumstances of life, but know that you are the God of heaven and you are in control and you are in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bus riders, please come quickly down here so Brother Scott can get you home. Please.